In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you happy? If you're not as happy as you could be, what would make you happier? Certainly the point of Jesus dying and rising again was to make us holy, and holy is different than happy. Yet hearing the gospel, knowing that God loves us, knowing that our sins are forgiven, knowing that we are heaven-bound, should make us happy. Of course, not everything that makes us happy is the gospel, but the gospel should make us happy. Maybe joyful would be a better word. We see joy and happiness in the scripture readings today. The psalmist responds to the joy the Lord has put in his heart with a song of praise. Thomas experienced sadness, maybe even anger, but surely not happiness when he disbelieved the report of Jesus' resurrection. Seeing the risen Christ then brought him joy and faith. In Acts, we see Jesus' first followers, our ancestors, the ancestors of the church, living happily together, sharing everything that they had. And John the Apostle taught Christians back then, and teaches us today, the truth about Jesus Christ so that our joy may be complete. So I ask again, are you happy? There's a branch of psychology now that studies happiness. It's called hedonics. It has the same Latin root word as hedonism. Of course, we can't just automatically believe everything proclaimed in the name of science. Human wisdom and logic are limited. Science is fallible. However, all truth is God's truth. The law of gravity is as much God's law as is justification by faith. There are things that hedonics can teach us about happiness. Much to my surprise, as I've been studying these, some of the principles about human happiness found in hedonics are similar to traditional Christian beliefs and values. I doubt that the psychologists studying these things know that, and that they probably would be surprised if they were confronted with the evidence. Researchers asked college freshmen, "What would make you happy?" Their answers were what we might expect: good jobs, high salaries, nice positions, and a good marriage. 20 years later, they asked those same people if they were happy now that they had achieved most, if not all, of the things that they said they wanted. They were not happier. Why not? It turns out that money only makes us happy up to a certain point. Once our basic needs are met, once we don't have to worry day to day whether there's going to be a roof over our head and food on our tables, having more money beyond that really doesn't make us happier. People making $30,000 a year were asked if they were happy with their salary. They said no. They asked, how much would you need to make you happy? They said $50,000. They asked people making $100,000 a year if they were happy with their salaries. They said no. How much would make you happy, they asked. And they said $250,000 a year. The more people had, the more they wanted, rather than being content. And what about happiness and marriage? Marriage does make you happy for about 2 years. After 2 years of marriage, married people, on the average, reported being no more happy than unmarried people. Now, that might not be true for all of us, but on the average, that's the case. Why don't the things that we think are going to make us happy really make us happy, or they don't make us happy? One reason is that we constantly adapt to our circumstances. We buy a new car with all kinds of bells and whistles, and we think it's really cool, and we're happy for a time. But then we get used to our new toy, and soon it's not really a big deal to us anymore. Another reason is that we're always comparing ourselves to others. We might have all of our needs met. We might own some really cool stuff. But we watch TV and we see beautiful people living fabulous lives. We see what our friends post on Facebook, what they eat, where they go, what they own. And suddenly we feel deprived. We feel underprivileged. We feel unhappy. Studies have shown that the more time that people spend on social media and the more time they spend watching TV, the unhappier they are because they are constantly seeing people with lifestyles better than theirs. And then they spend more money trying to buy stuff to make themselves happy. The term psychologists have created for this phenomena of us desiring things that we think will make us happy but really don't is miswanting. We are unhappy because we want the wrong things. We miswant the wrong things because our minds are wired in such a way that we really don't know what will make us happy. And we go off chasing things that only make us feel worse. Now, it is true that we are genetically predetermined, at least to a degree, to be happy or less happy people. About half of our happiness quotient is attributable to heredity. If your father was a curmudgeon, you're only going to get so happy. Surprisingly, only about 10% of your happiness depends on your circumstances. Yes, it's tough to be happy during a pandemic. It's much easier to be happy during an economic boom time. But overall, the difference isn't really that much. That leaves you in control of about 40% of your happiness level. How happy you are is largely up to you. Now, I am not saying that Christianity is a means to an end. I'm not saying that Christianity is a program that you follow to make yourself happy. What I am saying is that God, who loves us, wants us to know his joy. He will make us supremely happy in the life to come, and he gives us doses of happiness in this life as a foretaste of that eternal bliss and blessedness in his everlasting kingdom. Christians don't have to be sad, anxious, and angry all the time. God loves you. It's okay to be happy. So, what do the scriptures, especially today's readings, say about our happiness? And how does that connect with what God is revealing to us about his creation through science? It's really no surprise that we are frequently unhappy and that we want things that we think will make us happy, but don't. That's all attributable to original sin. Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden made us broken. Our minds are corrupted by sin. But Jesus was victorious over sin on the cross, and the Holy Spirit is working with us to heal our hearts and minds. Are there ways that science tells us that we can increase our happiness, and would God approve of them? Yes, there are. And scripture would indicate that, yes, very much God approves. So what are they? The number one thing that makes us happy is what is called sometimes an attitude of gratitude. People who appreciate what they have, no matter how much or how little it is, are happier. Learning to be thankful increases our joy. And being thankful is something that can be learned. Now, I always wonder about atheists and agnostics. Who are they thankful to if they don't believe in God? Well, you and I know who to be thankful to. The term we Christians use for this idea of gratitude is counting your blessings. That is, naming before God the good things that he has given you. Want to be happier? Try this simple exercise. Tonight, write down 5 things that you are grateful for. They don't have to be high-minded, spiritual-sounding things. They could include things like coffee, bacon, and chocolate, three things I'm very grateful for. Write down five more things that you're grateful for tomorrow night and every night for a week or more. Soon, you'll be thinking about how genuinely grateful you are for your family and friends. And later, you'll be thanking God for his wisdom, mercy, and love. And one day, you'll notice that you are happier then than you were before you started counting your blessings. Doesn't that sound a lot like the followers of Christ in the book of Acts, our first lesson today, having thankful hearts? Or something else that'll make you happier? Researchers gave people some money, just $5 or $20, and told them they could do whatever they wanted with it. They could spend it on themselves or they could spend it on somebody else. They found that the people who gave the money away or spent it on somewhere else were happier than those who spent it on themselves. The act of giving increases happiness. Doesn't that sound, again, a lot like the believers in the book of Acts sharing all they had? Doesn't Scripture often encourage us to be generous and to give alms to the poor? There's even more biblical ways for us to be happier. People need people. God created us for community. The Holy Trinity is a community of three divine persons in one divine substance, and God invites us into that community of perfect love. People are happier when they are not alone. The isolation caused by the pandemic has taken a terrible toll on people. And people involved in corrections will tell you that solitary confinement is the harshest punishment for a prisoner. Researchers found that just being around other live human beings made people happier. Talking with others made both the people who initiated the conversation and the person that they talked to happier. In Genesis, we read that God saw it was not good for man to be alone. In Acts, we see the believers in Christ living happily together. And God gives us the church. This fellowship and the ties that bind bring us joy. People are happier inside the church than they are outside of it. Once again, sounds a lot like the early church in Acts, doesn't it? One way, perhaps, to summarize what the research says and what the Bible says about happiness is that buying and owning stuff doesn't make us happy. Possessions and collections gather dust and they break, and our heirs just toss them away anyway. What makes people happy, joyful even, are savoring and being grateful for our experiences and relationships. You remember the concert that you went to long after the t-shirt you bought there has faded and has holes in it. You'll remember how kind your aunt was to you long after the diamond brooch she left you when she died gets lost somewhere in your jewelry drawer. You'll remember your teammates in the games. You'll remember your schools, your teachers, your classmates. And you'll remember your families, the vacations you took, and the holiday dinners long after the trophies rust and the diploma yellows and the loved ones are at eternal rest. Likewise, the water dries, but you are still a baptized child of God. The bread and wine are eaten and drunk, but God's forgiveness remains. The word proclaimed no longer echoes in the sanctuary, but your heart and mind have been touched. The people come and go, but the church remains the church. We love the church people, even as unworthy as they are of our love, and the church people love us, even as unworthy as we are of their love. Easter Day is over, but even on the Sunday after Easter, Christ is still risen. He is risen indeed, And we are happy to know his love and salvation. Amen.